history in the sense that some are very deep and quite lengthy and maybe a bit over our heads sometimes. Some of the reading I do sometimes, but some other stuff I read is a little bit superficial. This kind of gets a good balance where you can read it over a quiet time, get into it. I hope you're really making the most of it. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 10. I've got some slides. I don't know how well they'll show up there. The Living Stone is the title of the message today. Thank Malcolm when you see him for a lot of these notes are his. Okay, a lot of the stuff with the material we're preaching on is stuff that he's put together and made it very easy for us to be able to live lives and not just work all week on a sermon. So really do mention that to him. We're going to go through a little bit of a verse-by-verse look at this passage. And, you know, it's interesting that Peter writes this passage and it's about stones and the cornerstone. And he was, of course, called the Rock, you know. And it's quite interesting that he kind of mentions that in his letters. Matthew 16 is a reference to that where Jesus mentions that. You know, it's interesting. Stones can be a bit of a nuisance sometimes to us. And Tom Wright mentions this in his book. He's not much of a gardener. And he says he looks in the garden and he just sees stones. And he digs and he hits stones. And he looks in the field and he sees all these stone walls. And he realizes that's not necessarily for defense or anything. It's actually probably they're all in the field in the first place, trying to do some digging and some farming. And you've got to get these stones out of the way. And this passage is a little bit like that, where stones can sometimes be useful and sometimes they can be a hindrance to us. And you know, there can be a vitalness to them in building something, but they can also get in our way sometimes. There's a lot of scripture on stones and on rocks. Classic one that comes to mind, you know, are we building our house on the rock or on the sand? You know, there's a lot of analogies for who Jesus is and the rock of Christ in the scriptures. And Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And the truth he teaches can be one kind of stone to some people, and another kind of stone to other people. And we're going to look at, got 2 points today, we're going to look at a couple of things on that. And the question for us really is, how can we build on this great stone that is Christ and avoid stubbing our toes on it? Because we don't want to stub our toes. Can I get an amen? Amen. Especially though you got big feet, we stub our toes to some guys. Let's pray before we go into the scripture. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this crisp day, God, for the sun shining outside, Lord, for your love, God. Lord, we just thank you so much for being in church, for being able to assemble together, God, for your scriptures, being able to be guided and led by your scriptures. Please let them lead us today, God. Please just take me out of the picture, God. Help me speak the words you want me to speak, God. Lord, help our hearts be in tune, though, God. Help us be open to what you want to speak to us personally about today, God. Whatever it might be, God. It might not even be something that I'm intending to say or that I feel the scripture is saying, God. But let it be said. Let us receive it, God. Let us have an openness and a willingness to listen and be led by your word. Not by emotion, not by tradition, not by the way it's always been, but by a fresh Sunday morning like today, Father. Lord, the 15th of January 2012, let us be open to this new day, God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life, God, that we can live a new day, God. We pray for those who are sick right now, those who are not with us, those that are spiritually not well, God. And Lord, those that we invited to come today couldn't make it or on their way or whatever happened, God, we pray for them, God. We pray for those in our number also, God. Lord, please be with our churches around the world, God. Please be with us as a fellowship, as a movement, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the living stone that is Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. 2 points today. The first point is the cornerstone. The cornerstone. We're going to pick it up in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Let's stop there. We can have confidence in coming to Jesus because he is the living stone. He still lives and still has purpose for us in our lives. You know, he intercedes for us. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 7. We're not going to jump around too much today because I really want to sit on these verses. But in Hebrews 7 verse 25, this is something that really helped me. It says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. You know, that's Jesus' purpose. He lives on not to just while away his time in heaven, like some of us might be looking forward to. You know, Jesus lives on to intercede for us always. That's why he always lives. I mean, it's powerful that that's the living stone that we come to. That's why he lives. He is the very foundation stone of our existence. And what a stone, what a rock, what a solid foundation. You know, I looked at some famous stones in life. Sorry, Joe, I don't have the clicker. Have you got... thank you so much. Oh, that'd be great. I've got a few examples of some famous stones here. Stonehenge. Who's been there? Anyone been there? Driven past it, you know, flying past on the way to the West Country. You know, people worship these stones. Mythical druids, they say, surrounded these stones and did something of these stones of significance. Really famous stones. There's a stone, Butuk Manik. This is in Malaysia. I was reading about this place. They go there and they rub the stone and they look for, you know, inscriptions and lottery numbers and, you know, all these... This faith is like a shape, like a human, so they kind of put this emphasis on it. For me, this is one of the great stones, though. If we're going to talk about a stone, the Rosetta Stone. Who knows about this stone? Now, this is in the British Museum in this country. They found this. It's got three different inscriptions, and it's helped us base it in three different languages, all writing the same thing. So it's helped us translate hieroglyphics, many Middle Eastern languages, basically. One stone they found like this. I'm not saying we should rub it and worship it steady on. I'm just saying, here's a stone of significance. There's even the Blarney Stone in Ireland. I don't know if anyone's been there. You kiss this stone, this castle. It's meant to give you the gift of the gab. I don't think Irish people need that. I think they've already got that. But that's the belief, all right? You know, there's the people actually put real value on these stones. What about other precious stones? What are some other precious stones we know? I mean, you know, say again, wedding diamonds, absolutely. That's the stone of stones for some brothers. That's the stone that can cause some to stumble. We won't go there now. Right, rubies, sapphires, emeralds, any others we know of? Kaaba, okay, and even in Mecca, the Muslims will go around this the black Kaaba, this stone in the middle of their, when you go to Hajj, you do your pilgrimage, you walk around this stone, again, worshipping this entity, you know, crazy stuff. And I heard other things. I mean, there's onyx, there's loads of precious things. In fact, there's a huge business in this. And have you ever come across people in your workplace who, oh yeah, they rub a stone or they have a stone or they have it around their neck or, you know, this one's for this. And it's a bit like the old, you know, saints of, you know, I'll talk about saints a bit later. But, you know, the stone that we worship, the quality of the stone that we worship far surpasses anything you could ever come across in the created world. The quality of Jesus' character is more precious than gold. Even our faith is called more precious than gold. So how much more the actual entity of our faith, the focus of our faith, the existence of the one true God coming to earth. You know, the cells in his body, I was thinking about this, if we had moral scientists or spiritual scientists or, you know, like CSI forensic spiritual labs, you know, if they got a bit of Jesus' body while he was alive, this would be like, what? You know, they'd be like, this is just the original. This is, you know, the alpha. This is the starting place for all our studies would come from this. You know, the potential that this blood had. You know, the flesh while it was living. They'd be like, they'd see it and they'd be like, this is just the makeup of this man. It's incredible. I'm not talking about physically. He was the same as you and me. Okay, I'm not talking about he was some. We know that. You know, he wasn't some physical character that we should look at in that way. But I'm just talking about the quality of his character and what he did. I mean, what potential, what he went through. You know, and he's still living today just as precious. You know, so with this in mind, what stops us from coming to him? If he's this great cornerstone, what are some things that stop us coming to Christ? Pride. Big one. Fear. Selfishness. Right. Not wanting to give things up. Absolutely. Marvin, yeah. Right. Yeah, daily distractions. Tokes, yeah. Unworthiness. Right. That's a deep one. Tim. Hypocrisy, right. Amen. Ephah. Right, other religions, right. Well, maybe some of these other stones. Some of these other so-called faiths. Eno. Right. Lack of faith. Maybe lack of understanding. Absolutely, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that come to mind. For me, you know, I fell into deceit this week. And it really challenged me. I was Houston last week. I was chatting with a sister, and we were chatting about some stuff. And I was sharing about the teens, and we were talking a bit of teen ministry stuff, youth and family. Joe and my wife, we serve and help with the teen ministry here. And I found myself sharing something that wasn't true about how the teens were doing here and my involvement with that. And we were talking about a point, and I just made a slight point that just wasn't accurate. And I'd made a point, you know, I'd done something that was similar, I was sharing with her, but it wasn't exactly what I was saying. And I was burdened by it. Man, and I saw there was another team meeting yesterday. Went to a team leaders meeting, and I just pulled out. I confessed. I'm really embarrassed. You know, I lied to you. I said this untruth. You know, and it's not just a lie. You know, it's the pride behind it. That's why it came out to go away. And it's pride. They're wanting to look good. Wanting, you know, cause I'm proud of the Southeast guys. I'm proud of the teens here. And I enjoy my role. And sometimes those things can get confused. And my motives and what I'm, you know, and I have to sift this as a leader. And you know, and she was really humble. She was really grateful. She was like, I really appreciate that. And she'd felt something about the conversation as well. And we had a chat about that. But it's, you know, these things, they can stop me kind of going to Christ. Can steal my joy. Can just put me on a bit of a downer, you know. Another one we've been talking about, I mean, me and Tuck's been chatting. I know he's been sharing about some of the fruits of the Spirit. And one for me is self-control. I've been praying about a lot. And I've been praying really for self-control with just looking at the right things and with my time, with, you know, whatever I'm doing, making sure I'm on it. And then we had a meeting with the brothers a while back with the footballers. Some things came up in the football team. And I'd had some thoughts about the football team, quite a lot. I had quite a few thoughts about the football team. And I'd expressed them, like, you know, in a certain way to certain brothers. Anyway, we're sort of sitting in this room with the football. I'm thinking, man, this is the time I've got to share these thoughts. And, you know, it wasn't the time to share those thoughts. And I shared them anyway. Not, you know, I thought, man, no, this feels the right time to share them. Let me share them. And I really upset a brother. Right, you know, he was rightly offended, and we chatted about it. We still need to chat some more about it. And, you know, and I thought, man, my tongue, man. Where, I'm not praying about self-control with my tongue. You know, and suddenly it came to mind, this is something that can stop me. It can get in the way of my relationship with God. You know, well, what are some things that we got to work on? What are some things that, I repented after the football meeting. I texted all the brothers. I was like, I apologize, man. I said some things that I should have said to one brother. I shouldn't have expressed it to the group. You know, I know they show grace, and I've chatted to a number of them afterwards. But, you know, it's, you know, we got to get close to Jesus here. We've got to deal with sin if it's in the way, you know. I mean, Jesus, what's encouraging here is that Jesus was chosen by God, and it's precious to him. And then he says, you also, like living stones. You know, you're also chosen by God and precious to him. I mean, that's incredible. Do you believe that, though? I mean, do you believe that you're here for a reason? Do you believe that there's no chance you being here today? Oh, well, I've come along for a while and I've been invited. And yeah, it's a church and I've been here and my family goes here, or this is the reason I'm here. You know, no, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about God's view of you. Like, I want that woman here today. It's no coincidence, it's no fate. This is divine intervention. You are precious to God and Jesus too. We won't turn there. Isaiah 43, you can write it down as a reference. 1 to 10, go all the way through that. Jesus says, you know, you are precious and honored in my sight, and I would give men in exchange for you. You know, and he actually says the three words there, I love you. You know, and it moves me. And we know, do we understand that? As Eno said, do we have the faith in Jesus to understand that that's the God we worship, and that's how much he thinks about us? You know, in verse 5, as we move on into verse 5 here, you know, what's the purpose of us being brought together, though? What's the purpose of us being living stones? You know, why has God brought all these living stones, the followers of Jesus Christ, the ones connected to the cornerstone, together into a temple? Why? Well, it says here, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How are we doing with that? Now, you know, the sacrifices he has in mind here are probably quite general ones. Maybe the sacrifice of doing good, loving people with the love of Christ. Romans 12:1, you know, being transformed, offering, you know, our bodies, you know, in a general sense. But, you know, how's it going? How's our giving? I mean, I appreciate Davis's talk here. For the first time in that, as he was sharing that, I thought, the widow, I had already had a point about this. I was chatting with Davis. I said, the widow gave out of her poverty. You know, the widow was a January giver. I mean, isn't January a tough month? I mean, February's going to be worse, guys. You know, it's always the case. You get through January and you're like, yeah, yeah. And then February, the only blessing is it's only got 28 days. And there's those 3 days where you feel like if it falls on a weekend and it fits right, the wages come in at a good time if you're working, you know. But it's a tough time. But you know what? The widow wasn't, I'm going to pull back my sacrifice in wintertime. We've just had Christmas. It's a bit tight. The opposite. Giving out our wealth does not impress or please God. That's not a sacrifice he's looking for. You know, it's about giving whenever you can give. Giving in every way. Probably in the toughest time of the year, we've got to have faith that God will look after us. We need to give everything. I just asked the question, how is your sacrifice today? You know, Peter doesn't go into more detail. Later he goes on to more about what it is to be a holy priesthood. But I do want to just say this. Christians are priests. Can I get an amen? You're like, well, where's the hat and the garb, man? I want the mitre and, you know. You know, that's a different kind of priest you're talking about there. That's a traditionalized priest. That is not scriptural. Okay, let's be clear on that. You are a priest. If you've been baptized, you've repented of your sins, you are a priest in the holy line of God. You're in there. I mean, you're in there, you know. And also, you're a saint too. Can I get an amen on that? I'm talking to the saints right now. You study any book in the New Testament, majority of the letters, I say, they greet the saints in Ephesus. Greet the saints. This is written to the saints. You know what? Hold on. But we're not dead yet. No, again, that's not a saint. That's not something that we worship on a cross or on a chain for when we're traveling, like we'd rub a stone. That's a traditionalized, you know, form of Christianity. Let's not get into that. You are a saint if you worship the living God and are with him in Jesus' blood. You know, we are all disciples in this way. Peter's emphasis here in terms of being a temple and a royal priesthood is that we're being built up by the Spirit and by one another into a spiritual house. And there's a few scriptures there. We haven't got time. You can write these down for reference about talking about a spiritual priesthood, a holy priesthood, spiritual house, where every disciple should play their part. Now, this is a stone wall in a city called Cuzco in South America. I've actually been here. I traveled here. Oh gosh, way back when, after I finished uni. And near Machu Picchu, that's right, near that big, beautiful thing that's on every coffee jar in the land. And they built these stones. They don't know why they built them like this. It's kind of weird kind of architecture. They'd find stones that exactly fitted, and they'd work them out to fit in kind of weird ways. This is actually quite a conservative wall. You get some that are actually like, you get cross-shaped stones that fit in certain ways, and others coming up, and they'll have a massive stone next to like a number of stones. And it's amazing, but you know what? There's not a gap. There's not a gap. No cement or mortar, no modern-day bricklaying technology going on here. Just the stones. And they fit, and they've been there for thousands and thousands of years. You know, and the question I ask here is, you know, how are we doing with one another? Are we this close? I mean, do we fit together in our family groups like this? Well, there's no need for a bit of extra glue. We don't need... Doesn't matter if the food's great or not, family. It doesn't matter if, you know, they bring some cakes to the Bible study. I'm just fitting in right there. You know, how are we doing? How is our attitude with one another? You know, and it's interesting that there's separate stones don't have any use in a wall like this. Individual stones don't play any part. In fact, you probably just trip over them lying around the ground. Even a few stones, even one or two or three or four. We're talking about cliques with the brothers on Wednesday night. Oh, you know, the church is not a place of cliques. You know, it wouldn't work for this. You'd be building the wall, and you'd be like, well, these stones are sitting here. We need them. But they're not going to come in the wall. It would just be like, the architect, the builder would be like, that's crazy. I mean, we're building a wall here. How's the wall's going to suffer? Because we need them in here. And they need to be in there because they're just going to cause, you know, we got to fit. Because the other thing is, these guys don't weather. Stones like this don't weather very much. You keep stones together in walls, they generally weather quite well. You could ask Dennis about this with more bricks. And, you know, you need to repoint a wall every now and again. That means put the potty in. But the bricks stay together. But you leave rocks on their own in the weather, they're going to get weathered. The wind's going to blow. The rain's going to fall. They're not tightly fitted. You know, are we living like separate stones today? Are we living in a way that's not tied in the wall? You know, let's get people. If we see people outside of that wall and we feel like, well, there's a drift going on, let's pull them into the wall. Let's be good builders. Let's help God out on this. Oh, with that in mind, I want to throw out about dating. If there's, you know, we're having people over on dates. Are we inviting people? I'd love you to invite some of the teens around for dates. What are they? Teens go on dates too. Oh, yeah. Now, you normally need to invite a lot of them, and you need to have a lot of food, all right? That's a warning right there. But the challenge still stands there. Please invite them over. Please pull people into different parts. This will help them get into the wall more and more. You know, moving on to verse 6. You know, this is fantastic. You know, Peter's probably writing here in verse 6. We'll just remind ourselves. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. I mean, I love this verse. That's one of those nuggets that kept me going this week. You know, in fact, my life, this keeps me going through my life, this kind of concept. Because I know it's true. I know God has never, ever let me down. He's never let me down. I've let myself down in numerous ways. I've made wrong decisions. And, you know, maybe Peter's writing here saying that, you know, there was a bit of that where the Christians here were a bit ashamed about stepping out. I don't know why he's putting this in here. You can think about that. Let's turn to Isaiah 28, where it comes from, and just glean a little bit more here. But in Isaiah 28, verse 16, my favorite book of the Bible, my son got the name of this. You know, could have been others. I would have gone for John, but John's just a regular name in England. You know what I mean? I would have. Sorry, that's... Man, I apologize, John. Sorry, I hurt your courage. I'm sorry, bro. That's my pride. I apologize, John. I apologize. But I love the book of John. What I'm saying is, John, I would have gone for John because I love it, but I had to go for something different. I'm digging on. I'll get out of it. Let's read the Bible. Man. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says, verse 16 of Isaiah 28. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. A slightly different translation. Why do you ask that? Sometimes we look at the new and we look at the old. It's the same scripture. The Hebrew and the Greek are a little bit different, okay? I used to look at this, I go, wow, well, that's not the correct translation. Let's understand the language that's going on here. You know, but it's a sure foundation. I want to talk to the teenagers. You know, I want you to really sit on this scripture today. If this is all you take out of it today, I want you to take this out of it. All your fears will never, ever be realized. Never. If you walk with Christ. Never. Because you know what? There's a lot of fears in teenage lives. Loads. Will I be shown up? Do I look right? Do I fit in? Is it going to work? I'm making a decision. How's it going with this? You know, all your desires, though, will be reached. You know, this is a major reality. What's the crowd up to for teenagers? You know, even if you decided and you made the bold step to become a Christian, which is awesome, there's still that temptation there. You know, you've nobly stepped out of it. And I appreciate people like Trifina, you know, coming up in the studies and doing, you know, just seeing her changing over this time. And other teenagers that I see it. I can see it. And we can all see it. You know, it's fantastic. There's encounters with Jesus going on. But we're still this concern not to stick out too much. Or, you know, not to come across as a clown. Right? Don't look like a bit silly. I want to avoid ridicule. You know, I maybe skirt favoritism a little bit, skirt around popularity, because I kind of want to survive, you know. Peter is telling you, you don't need to do that. You do not need to worry. You can stand out. You can be a fool for Jesus, and he will always be with you. Always. To the very end of the age. Be yourself. Be Christ-like. Be holy. Be different. Be set apart. That's his call for you, because you know what? He's got your back. He's right there with you. Can I get an amen from the teenagers? Amen. All of us will never be put to shame. Whatever you do with God will come through. It will not fail. You know, I've lacked faith in my life. I've lacked conviction at times. You know, I've drifted. I've not sought him at other times. But when I have, and I'm not talking with partial obedience, I'm talking wholeheartedly, he is right there. Every time to see me through to the bitter end. Even if during that struggle, I waver again in the middle somewhere. He's right there. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. You know, repentance is so misunderstood. We were watching this BBC program this week, The Big Questions. I don't know if you've seen this debate. It's like a Nicky Campbell thing with an audience. One of the questions was, is it time to repent because the end of the world is nigh? And this woman sparked up, and she was one of the main critics of Christianity. She's been on the show loads, and she's had all this, you know, she just seems to just have this thing with Christianity. She says, oh, repentance, why should we repent? It's just saying sorry. It's a bit easy, isn't it? And there were two clergymen there. There was I'm not going to name the churches, but there were two quite pronounced clergymen. This is one in Manchester, both of them in Manchester. And they didn't say a thing. I thought, man, tell them what repentance really is. Tell her. Because you know what? There's this view, I was just saying sorry. It doesn't mean anything anyway, because you'll go back to it. Like, it's not that easy. There has to be a change. There has to be a metanoia of the mind, a change of our worldview, how we view the world, who's first, who's second, what we do with our lives. But it's a revolution of the heart. It's about becoming a new creation. But it is awesome. And the cornerstone is awesome. Awesome, and I say come to the cornerstone today. The second point is the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone. Verses 7 and 8. Let's get back to 1 Peter and read on. Are you with me so far? Except for the Johns. I've lost the Johns already, but I've got to work back at that. I don't know how to get that back. Verse 7. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. You know, there's some great insights that Malcolm and Tom has gleaned from this. The writer has gleaned from this, and this is amazing. Let me spell this out. It's incredible that the very builders who should have realized the value, i.e. the Jewish teachers, the Pharisees and the priests, rejected Jesus. Like the very builders there's no one else should have seen it more clearly than them. And the lesson is that it's actually sometimes those that we expect most of all to know the truth and to live by it, don't live by it. Don't live by it. The scholars of the world, the theologians, the preachers, I got to watch myself too. We got to make sure we're living the life. You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, we shouldn't be surprised when clear Bible doctrines and teaching is rejected by people who claim to love God and the Word. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. That's the bottom line, and that's where discipleship comes in. So it's not a theological debate we're going on about. It's not a theological, intellectual life we're living here. It's a walk. And we've got to walk as Jesus walked. That's one of the most challenging verses in the Bible. You want to call yourself a Christian? Then, you better get in his shadow. Follow him around. Find those footprints and walk where he walked. The temptations he faced, you're going to face them too. And he didn't turn to the left or the right. You've got to walk in a straight line too. And you know, it's interesting because it can be confusing because we can hear these preachers and religious people and theologians talking about discipleship even, preaching about it. I hear it different places. And yet the modelling of it and the action of it is far away. But you know, this is radical. The builders themselves rejected it. Like, I've done some work on our house with my dad, right? My dad's a builder. He's done many things, but he can build. So we knocked through our kitchen 2 years ago. we knocked the kitchen through into the living room, okay? And, you know, it's quite a big job. I didn't know what I was just like the gopher. Say the go for this, go for that, pick up the bricks, you know, clean up. I was kind of learning as I went. And then one day we had these big joists holding up the roof, like kind of holding up where we'd taken the wall down, and it held the wall between the bathroom and our bedroom above it. Quite important. And then you get the RSJ comes in. That's a reinforced steel joist. So I'm a little bit of a builder, so I was trying to learn. And this thing is heavy, right? And it comes off a truck, and these guys unload it, and they put it down. And imagine, right? Imagine my dad had gone, you know what? That ain't it. That's not what I ordered. That's not going to do the job. And the guys who delivered it were like, well, that's what you ordered. That it looks good. It's very heavy. Looks like it does the job. I'm looking at going. And he goes, no. And I'm like, well, he's the builder. He knows what he's doing. I'll let you know. And they take it back on the truck. And we get something else from the garden. You know, maybe we find some concrete or cement, and we put that in, and you know, we stick that in. We're like, yeah. That's that, you know. How weird would that be? I mean, now if I looked at the RSJ, I'd probably go, Dad, I don't know what I'm talking about. Is this right? I don't know if you want to deliver it. I'm not sure. But the builder themselves to reject it, it's a crazy concept. But that's what happened. That is what happened in the Bible. You know, and people put other things in place of the cornerstone, and you know what? Walls will fall down every day. Walls are falling down every day. You put in something in the place of what should be there, the only thing that should be there, you're going to struggle. And I want to talk to Kingdom Kids today. Some teenagers have grown up in the church. You know, this is a verse for you too. Because you know what? You know the scoop. You're like trainee builders in the making. You're like born with your little belts, ready to do God's work. You know, you're like, got your hammer, you got your, you know, your tape measure. You're like, man, Bob the Builders, all over the place. And you know what? It's in fact, what is this? It's easy for you to reject it. It's easy for you to reject it. And the reason is because you become religious. Because going to church is what mum does, auntie does, uncle does. It's what we've always done. I go there, I know the lingo, I can talk the talk. I've not kissed the Blarney Stone, but I've got a bit of, you know, you could chat to us in the way that me. And you know, it's easy for you to. Now, right now, the church. See, the youth and family ministry, it's actually harder to become, it's harder not to become a Christian than to become a Christian. All right? The energy, the spirit is moving around. I mean, teenagers are being baptized all over the place in the London church around the UK. It's actually more unlikely that you won't become a Christian, but it's still possible. And the reason is because of religiousness. I'm going to get Tosin up in a moment just to share a little poem that this gentleman, I've got his name here, Jefferson Bethke, put together. He was a Kingdom Kid in his church. He's from a denominational church. But some of the words he shares here are very powerful. Tosin, you want to come up?
You see, the problem with religion is that it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside and make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. No, I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know you're Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know the kind of logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you've got the jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me, acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on a Sunday, I'd go to church while on Saturday, getting faded, acting like I was simply created to have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good, but it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide in my failure, I don't have to hide in my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, when I was God's enemy and certainly not a fan, He looked down on me and said, I want that man.
Amen. Give him a clap. Amen. Let me just stress, that's this guy Jefferson's poem. That's not Tosin's sin. Or, you know, that's this guy's view. He grew up in a church and that was some of his sins. Some of his feelings coming to a church and yet things were going on elsewhere. Teens, don't live like that. That's going to cause you to reject the very cornerstone. You know, for us, we got to avoid being religious ourselves. You know, our personal challenge is to continue to welcome truth from God's word. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of us know this scripture well. Ephesians 2, picking up in verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together like a Cuscan wall. No, it doesn't say that, but... And rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in them you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know, the foundation of this very building has to be the Scriptures. The apostles and the prophets, we're talking about the New Testament and the Old Testament. If it ain't built on that, it ain't going to last. Like the wall in my house, it would come tumbling down if it's not got the Scriptures underneath it. Now, Jesus is the living Word of God. We've got to emphasize the Bible. This is what we're about as a church. How is our Bible study? How are we doing with that? And let's go back to 1 Peter, verse 8. We're getting through it, guys. We're nearly wrapped up. In verse 8, it's interesting that a stumbling stone, it talks about. You think, well, why would the stone be a cornerstone? I understand that's building up, but why be a stumbling stone? Like, why do you want to trip people up, Jesus? Is that your goal? Well, I think in a way it is. I think there needs to be a bit of stumbling. There needs to be something for us to get over. You know, and this is the way. You know, you either accept the capstone or you reject it. You know, there's two paths. There's the wide road and there's the narrow road. You're either in the gate or you're out of the gate. You're either in the light or the dark. There's no like middle ground where it's like, you know what, yeah, I've got one foot on the stone. It doesn't go like that. You know, if we're being religious, we're in the darkness. If we're being lukewarm, we're on the wide road. If we're partially obeying, we're outside the gate. We've got to wake up to this. Is this the time for you? Do you think God has prepared for you to encounter this living stone and accept him? Don't miss this opportunity. But I say, we need a stumbling block. We need a stumbling stone to be set before us so we will make a decision. Without it, we could just drift through this life. Well, you know, this answers the question, why does suffering exist? As an atheist, I ask this, why does God allow suffering? Guys, without feeling life, we're never going to change. We're never going to know what it is to love life, to hate life, to want to change life, whatever it is we're going through. You know, we've got to go through these things. It's a challenge, and it's not easy. But maybe for you, the stumbling block is... It's just still in the way. And maybe there's some boulders right there for you that you've not quite got over yet. Maybe it's just getting baptized. Maybe it's needing to repent fully. Maybe God's calling you to change, to be fully committed, to live for him, to be restored to him. I don't know. But we've got to get over the block. The block ain't going to move. It's only going to trip you up. You're only going to trip over it. You've got to come to him with a full heart, ready to change. You know, I found it tough this week. Joe's not here today. She had a wisdom tooth out on last Saturday, and she's been in pain all week. And I didn't expect that level of pain. I was like, okay, you know, it's in the surgery. It's gonna go okay. You know, she came back like half her cheek had kind of gone for it. You know, drilled for half an hour, and so a lot more needed doing in the house than I was kind of ready for. You know, and I did it, but I did it a lot reluctantly. I was like, I'd storm in sometimes. I'd be out of the bedroom, get the kids to the... I'd storm back into the bedroom, mumbling under my breath. Oh, I've lost my Bible, can't find this. And you know, and one of my goals is kindness. You know, one of my fruits I'm aiming for is kindness. That's it right there. It's right. And I'm like, this is hard. It's right. I keep tripping over the same stone. You know, but guys, we got to fight these battles. We can't give up on it. You know, and you know what? Without that, I'm only going to become kind through that. By seeing it, by making mistakes. If it's all easy peasy, I'm never going to become a kind being. You know, what is it for you? Maybe there's some stones there, and maybe you're rejecting Jesus in small ways. You're in the church, but there's little rejections going on. Let's choose to accept the cornerstone. Just in conclusion, let's go on to verse 9 and 10. Just to conclude, we'll look at these two verses to finish up. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I mean, Peter returns to this theme again of being chosen. What kind of people are we? We're a people belonging to God. You know, we have a stamp. We're like, we got a label in the back of us, owned by God. That's who we are. That's our makeup. You know, we're a company of priest kings who travel through life together with other priest kings. And what is this company to do? Well, we're to declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. How is it going sharing about this rock? Is this rock in our... You know, are we sharing about this stone? Are we sharing about this great Messiah? Is that part of us, you know? You know, how's it going getting people to Jesus? This is an old painting of the man with palsy being lowered through the roof. You know, are we making efforts to get people to God? It's interesting. He says, "You are ... that you may." You know, Peter. If you studying through Peter, we had a great time. Cafe and Mike Akinwari this Friday. We had a great D group in our family group up in Elephant. I'm loving Elephant and Castle. Just love it in there. And we met some great guys. And we were looking through, and the amount of times grace goes with obedience, it's amazing. You know, and this is where grace and truth in John, you can go through the Bible, this is the way it is. We don't just get the grace and wander off in the grace, and we don't just obey, you know, there's got to be a coming together. And Peter really got it, I feel. I don't know whether that's because of the interactions with Jesus and he fell over so many times, but we got to understand that. You know, and we want to declare the praises, even singing to God. You know, that's why we come early for church. That's why we come on time, right? The first few songs, we get into the praises, right? I mean, the worship is banging. Straight away, we're in there. Tosin's just tickling that ivory there. You know, we want to be praising God in all that we do. You know, in conclusion, you know, we have this privilege of knowing God, of being his people, because the living stone has been recognized as the capstone, the cornerstone, the foundation stone. Let us not stumble over this stone today, but let's allow ourselves to be built into the spiritual house God intends for us to declare his praises to this dark world. Then many will be called out of darkness and into the light that we enjoy. If my heart gets overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thanks very much.
Amen. Let's thank God on Mo's behalf for a great message today.